It's good to see you again. Pull up a chair by the hearth.
This is the Back Row Super Show. This is Zach.
And Stuart.
And today, we're talking about Hearthstone.
Hearthstone,
yes. Or buying a bunch of cards, but they don't take up space in your notebook.
That's right. and they're cheap cards. Yeah, I've busted out my BlizzCon 2015 shirt.
Sure.
As well as some Deathwing pants.
Those are fancy.
Yeah, you know. Deathwing comes out, destroys all of your minions, but you do have to lose your hand.
Yeah.
So this game is a big part of my life. As I say the sentence, it makes my life seem kind of boring.
Have you been playing it since 2014? Not to interrupt, but yeah.
I've actually been playing it since the closed beta. Ooh, yes.
Ooh, I was, you're hipster about this nerdy shit.
I know. I was one of those special people who actually got into the closed beta.
Nice.
Was able to, you know, work out some kinks and stuff like that. And I've been with the game ever since. There was a time when I did take a break between the Goblins and Gnomes expansion.
Where they were like gangsters?
No, that's actually the newer one. That's the Streets of Gadgistan.
Which, that seems like a cool theme.
It was a very cool theme. A lot of strong cards actually came out of that set.
Yeah, I can imagine. Bruisers and stuff.
Well, more of the Cabal side. There was a fantastic card. So, Hearthstone, let me just give it up to Blizzard. Blizzard has mad props for me. They come out with strong games. They were one of the first companies to go on the market with digital cards. And digital cards are fantastic.
Well, the UI is really, like everything that Blizzard does, the UI of the game itself, I think, is really good.
It's strong, yeah. And it was one of the first games that you could play on your phone. Or a tablet. Or something.
Oh, really? You could play it on the phone at launch?
Not on launch, no.
Oh, okay.
At the beginning, it was just mainly on your computer.
Tablet.
Yeah, but then they moved it onto an iPad and a phone.
Which makes sense. I mean, that's the way that the gaming market is moving, so...
Yeah, which a little bit unfortunate, but it is nice because the rules aren't as complicated as a lot of other games.
Yeah. Like, I haven't played Gwent, but I'm not really enticed to play Gwent either.
I haven't played Gwent. I've seen people play it. It's another interesting game, but unfortunately my wallet is fat enough just to support only one card game.
That makes sense.
And Hearthstone is my bae.
Well, so I guess we should talk about what Hearthstone... Mm. I mean, obviously it's a digital card game.
It's a digital card game.
Blizzard puts it out. It's just Warcraft lore, right? It's not...
It is just Warcraft.
Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
It's just Warcraft lore. It is, quote-unquote, free-to-play. So you can download the driver, you can get an account, and you can start playing right away.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a couple of people do free-to-play runs. There's a...
Which I've tried. That's difficult.
It is difficult. It is very difficult. There's a famous Hearthstone streamer. Yep. His name is Trump. Not to be confused. Yeah. We'll stay off of that topic. Yeah. But he does the occasional, when a new set comes out, he will do a free-to-play run.
It's possible. It's just super
It is possible.
Difficult.
It's slow. Yeah. I mean... You don't get all the cards that you need. You have to do a lot of grinding on the ladder.
Sure.
The ranking ladder. And there's just a lot of time that you have to put in. On a monetary value, I'll just disclose this. Usually when a new expansion comes out, they're going to be announcing, depending on when this podcast comes out, they're going to be announcing a new... expansion soon, which I'm looking forward to. which will actually start a new year.
Oh, okay.
So
they're resetting their year then.
Yes. So okay. Each year, you have so many cards to play with.
Okay.
And it kind of keeps the metagame fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So this year was the year of the mammoth, which included cards from One Night in Khalistan, maybe, I believe, Khalistan.
Oh, okay.
Mean Streets of Gadgetstan.
Okay.
Journey into Un'Goro. And then the Knights of the Frozen Fell. Throne. Yes.
Okay.
Plus all the, plus the other ones, which were, man, I'm doing my trivia right now.
yeah,
Kobolds and Catacombs.
Okay.
Which was the latest one, which was based on D&D, which was really cool. Yeah. So that
was, were they partnered with?
No, they weren't partnered with D&D. It's themed. Like, okay. You don't have shows, you know, like a Mind Flayer or things along those lines.
Sure.
It's just very, very similar.
Yeah.
And they implemented a PvE on there, which you might be thinking.
Player versus everyone?
No, player versus environment.
Oh, player versus environment. Okay. Yeah.
So,
I thought it was like a weird way of saying battle royale.
No.
I was like, that's a weird way to advertise.
No. It's a MMORPG term. There's PvP and then PvE,
yeah.
Which is you versus the environment. And you might be thinking to yourself, how can you do that with a card game?
Yeah.
Well, they had dungeon runs where you would, nice. And this was free.
Yeah.
This was free if you downloaded the game.
God, I love Blizzard with the free stuff.
You could play it. You would. It would be versus the computer, and they would have a certain deck, and you would play, and you would try to beat 8 of these bosses with each different class. And when you beat all of them, you would get a free card back.
Huh.
And the card backs are like a swag. But, so we're going to be coming into a new year.
Okay.
It's going to be the year of the Raven. So.
What are they going to do for that? Because they don't have a whole lot of bird stuff.
No, it's like, not like card themes.
Yeah, I know it's not card themes.
Not card
but
themes.
Like, in terms of lore.
It's not really like.
They don't have like a
lore.
Raven king.
No. And they don't really have like a mammoth king.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's just, I think. Fun, sort of. I feel like they're going with, like, Chinese zodiacs.
Sure.
With, like, the year of the dog and things along those lines. So, with that year, a couple of card sets are going to rotate into Wild, which is their, basically, anything goes. You can use any card from any set.
Gotcha.
And the card pool is going to be limited until these new 3 expansions come out, which is going to really change up the metagame, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But, again... All a side note. Let's come back to how much the Stewarts spend on Hearthstone. So when a new expansion comes out, they usually run a deal where you can buy 50 packs for $50.
Okay. How many cards are in a pack again? Is 15?
No, 5 cards. You're guaranteed 1 rare card, so 1 blue card. A pack could have up to 3 rare cards. Could be all 5 of them rare cards. There is rare.
Yeah, how often does that happen?
Not often.
Yes.
The rarity is there's common cards.
Okay.
There are rare cards.
Sure.
There are epic cards. And then there's legendary cards. And legendary cards are the one-of cards in your deck.
I don't know. I never really played WoW, but that sounds like the scheming for like Diablo at least, like the weapon drops.
Yes, it is. Okay. It is similar to, because I also played a World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
I was an undead, so
I didn't get sucked into that.
For the horde. So all my horde people out there represent.
Yeah.
But with this, so I spend the $50 on a pack, and it'll get you 50 cards, and that's usually enough to, like, sort of make stuff. If you get duplicates of cards, you usually can only have 2 cards, because you can put 2 cards in a deck. Yeah. So if you get duplicates of those cards, you can, become dust, And you can use dust to craft new cards. So you don't sort of get that feel bads of like, oh, I've got this card, but it's a duplicate, so I can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
You can put it into dust, and you can create new cards out of dust.
Gotcha.
So I usually put $50 into it.
Wait, when you, well, back up a second. Yeah. So you said if you, you can craft new cards with dust. Mm-hmm. Do you, like, drag and drop from a menu of...
They have a great UI. So you have your binder of cards.
Okay.
And then there's a button at the very bottom of it. And their UI's been worked on. I remember at the very beginning of this game, since, you know, was in the beta. Humble brag. I remember the UI was all wacky.
Sure.
But there is a button at the bottom of your binder, of your digital binder. You can click it, and then it'll show you all of the cards. The cards that you don't have are grayed out, so you can click on them, and they'll show you how much dust it takes to create that card, or how much dust it is
so
to
you can
disenchant.
Like buy cards with dust that
you
you've accumulated. Okay, because I thought for a second, just because I... Other than playing through the, like, tutorial mm-hmm. and playing through the different heroes decks on the app,
yeah,
I haven't gotten as far into Hearthstone.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it was like, well, here are some powers from a menu. Each one costs a certain amount of dust. Let's drag and drop these.
All gotcha. Of the cards have the same value of dust. Mm-hmm. I believe epic cards cost 400 to create.
And how
but
much
they,
dust on average do you get from breakdown?
It depends on what kind of card you have. Because an epic card will cost 400 to create, but then it will be 100 to disenchant. So, of course, it's not a 1-to-1 exchange rate. It's a 4-to-1. It is. Just because, you know, Blizzard does have to make its money. So, again, going back to the cost... $50 at the beginning of the expansion, and then usually I break down and I buy another, I believe, 20 cards for about $15. Because each card is about worth, or each pack is worth about $1.70, $1.50. But come to average that out, so three expansions are released every year, so that's $150 plus $20 over three times, which is about $190. If you break that up into 12 months, it's pretty much an average of how much you would spend on a subscription to World of Warcraft.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so a lot of players then, what I'm hearing from you is a lot of players may have traded in their WoW subscription for a Hearthstone
exactly
buy fast.
And that's basically what I've done.
Okay.
I don't play WoW anymore, which, you know, yeah, that's a whole nother topic. but yeah, I've traded in my WoW subscription to a Hearthstone basically buy fast. And I enjoy it. I do play on a competitive level.
Okay.
I try to create competitive decks. There are the with it being a digital game, there's a lot of net decking out there. So you go in on the internet, seeing what top tier decks are out there, and then sort of copy paste a deck into a deck and climb the ladder.
That's frustrating. Well, I remember when I was doing Armada more with some of our other friends, mm-hmm. That I remember coming across that online and being like, wouldn't you rather just mix and match yourself and see how it works? But like, it doesn't make sense to me why someone would net deck.
Well, I mean, because these decks are refined. The people who are pasting up their decks are people who've spent hours and hours refining their decks.
Sure.
So, be it a small tweak from one card to another, it raises your win percentage up to, like, you know, 2%, and that could matter. The grind of the ladder is definitely a grind. They recently changed the layout of the ladder, which I'm very happy about. So the ladder resets every month.
Sure.
Usually you would climb the ladder and you would have to gain so many ranks. It would go from 25 to legendary.
Okay.
From 25 to 10, I want to say, you could get 3 stars and then you would go up to the next rank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's...
So three wins.
Three wins.
If you start winning multiple games in a row, you get bonuses. And then I believe from 10 to 1, it would be 5 games. So from going from 10 to 9, you'd need 5 stars.
So in terms of advancement, it's more climbing a ladder versus leveling up.
Right? Yes, yes. Okay.
Your avatar or whatever is never a level whatever.
Yeah, no.
Player.
Everybody's on the same level basically. Your class that you choose isn't going to, like, the deck is going to be more powerful or weaker depending on, you know, what you're bringing, but it's never your avatar is going to be stronger because you leveled them up. Your avatar does level up if you win games.
Well, yeah, no, I didn't mean any benefits. I meant more like, so people, like, another way of ranking people, basically, so that, like, all the level 19s, they're trying to get up to level 20, to bust up to the next level.
Yeah, and they'll match you with the same ranked people.
Gotcha.
Like, a 19's never going to face, like, a 5.
Yeah. Because that's silly.
Yeah, that's silly. But the thing is, they've recently changed it, because at the end of the rank, you got knocked all the way back down.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's say you climbed up to legendary, or 2. Let's say you got to, you know, 2. At the end of the month, if you got past, believe, 20, you would get a chest.
Oh.
And depending on how high you went, the chest had, you know, better things for you. Usually it would be dust or a golden card.
So with chests, then, does it give you themed things based on the deck that you've reached that with?
No,
so, like, if you're a paladin type deck, it doesn't give you...
It doesn't track, because everybody's switching out decks. Like, occasionally I will run a aggro paladin deck.
Right.
And then I'm facing a lot of warlocks that lock me out. So I'll switch over to a druid deck. And, you know, it just doesn't track what kind of decks you use.
Okay.
But it will give you certain rewards depending on how high you get.
Oh, okay.
And it'll normally be dust, or it'll be a golden card. But it'll always be a unique card back for every month. So every month they make a new card back, which is really cool. I mean, it doesn't affect your game. It's just swag. But everybody loves swag.
Well, so how pay-to-win type situation is this? Because, like, that's a criticism that's come up a lot with...
It is.
You know, like, Battlefront 2. Anything where there's, like, loot boxes or treasure chests or things you can buy versus things you have to earn.
I mean...
It's usually skewed really heavily towards paying-to-win.
Yeah, and this is a pay-to-win, unfortunately. Like, like I said, I put in about... $70 in an expansion, and that usually does well for me.
Yeah.
I will say that they are very generous on their quests. So each day you get a new quest, and you can have up to 3 quests.
Oh.
And usually the quest will pay out on the low end 40 gold. On the high end, it'll be like 80 or 100 gold. And you can spend that gold to buy packs.
Sure.
And each pack is 100 gold. So you can make a lot of, like, if you're on the game, playing the game a lot, you can make a lot of gold to buy packs. There's also an arena where you can sort of draft.
Sure.
And that only costs 150 gold. And there... So I compare this game a lot to Magic. Because I also play Magic. Well, I used to play
Magic.
Sick.
Yeah, you were super into Magic.
I was also super into Magic as well. I played a lot on Magic Online.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a digital format. But their packs cost the same amount as real-life packs. So if you wanted to draft a Magic, like, just a Magic set, you were paying about $12. Which is ridiculous for, like, 3 to 4 hours of entertainment. Like, there are mini games on Steam that cost $10 that you can get hours and hours of fun.
What's the replay on Undertale? It's a $10 game.
Yeah.
It's, what, three playthroughs at, like, what, 10 hours per playthrough?
Yeah. It's great. I've also been playing another card game, which I recommend. Again, not sponsored or anything, but Slay the Spire is a fantastic game on... Okay. On Steam. It's a sort of a card building game. Again, digital cards.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if everybody sees a theme, but I enjoy some digital
cards. So
you
really like the cards and deck. You really seem to like deck building type game.
Okay. I do. It's not the only type of game I play, but that's, like I said, is pretty
that
much in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I enjoy refining decks. I enjoy that strategy behind decks and things along those lines. But getting back to Magic, Magic's $12 for like 3 hours. You can draft on Hearthstone for 150 gold. And if you think about it, like 100 gold's like a dollar. So like
$1.50.
$1.50. And if you usually get like, let's say, because depending on your wins on that draft, they will give you rewards.
Sure.
And you'll always get a pack of the newest set. So you're getting your 100 gold back.
Yeah.
Because you're getting a pack.
Sure.
So it's all gravy on top. Usually, if you get 4 wins, you have 3 losses. So if you lose 3 times, you're done with the
you're
run. Yeah.
Eliminated. Yeah.
So it's usually it's easy to go like 3-3, like winning 50% of your games.
Sure.
If you go 3-4, you usually make your money back.
Ah.
Yeah. With Magic, usually to make your money back, depending on like the set, or if you're drafting like Cube or something along those lines, you have to win 2 out of 1 games.
Okay.
So you have to win 66% of your games.
Sure.
Versus Hearthstone, where you're winning about like 50% of your games.
Okay.
And again, you're always getting that pack, so it's worth 100 gold. If you lose hard on Magic, you just lose that $12.
Yeah.
And it's rough. So, unfortunately, yeah, again, I had to stop playing Magic. Though, I can say this. I am in the closed beta for Magic Arena.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I signed an NDA, so I can't talk about the actual, like,
game. But you can say you're in it.
But I can say I'm in it.
Okay.
Hashtag humble brag. But getting back to Hearthstone.
Yeah.
It's a great game. I really enjoy it. Again, the great thing about digital card games is if there's an issue with certain things, like let's say a card is overpowered. There was this one card that was Raza the Unchained. Which, if you had a bunch of singletons or single cards...
I've heard of that, yeah. But, I mean, keep explaining
this. So, if you had a bunch of single... Or if you had one card in your entire deck, you didn't have any duplicate of your cards, it would make your hero power. And each hero has their certain power. Basically, a button that you can press that does unique things versus all the classics. But if you played this card... it would make your hero power free. Well, the card was played, and it was a very strong deck. The great thing about digital cards is you can make changes to them. You can say, hey, this card's way too powerful. Let's tweak it a little bit.
Rather than what Magic did, which would just be like, okay, this one's not allowed anymore.
Yeah, you can't play this card. You know, we did testing on this card, and
which
it just breaks the game.
Up front before they sold it to
you. They should. And the great thing about Blizzard is like, okay, this card has changed.
Yeah.
So you have a week if you want to. If this card is no good anymore, you can disenchant it, for the full amount, not the one.
Which entices you to play more, given the time frame, too.
Or you basically disenchant all the cards that have been nerfed.
Yeah.
And if the card seems good, you can recreate that card without any loss, because you have the full amount of dust that they gave you.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is fantastic. I really think that's a good business step for Blizzard to be taking on Hearthstone. So, another thing is, I've gone to a couple of Hearthstone tournaments.
Okay.
Not to toot my own horn or anything, but I ended up getting second place. It's not a first place win, it's a second place win. It was a featured match on Twitch. I'm sure if somebody else can find it.
Can find it.
Yeah. It was at this, again, you know, not sponsored or anything, but shout outs to Ballon Brew here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're a gaming bar. Basically, they have a bunch of computers and TVs all around. You can rent time and stuff. But they have a good connection with Blizzard, where they run a bunch of Hearthstone tournaments.
Which they do a lot of stuff with Blizzard, because I've seen them run Heroes of the Storm tournaments as well.
They do.
Yeah.
They also run a lot of Smite tournaments, which is based here in Atlanta. It's a...
Smite? Oh, is it...
It's Epic Games? Don't quote me on that. Epic.
No, Epic is in North Carolina.
It's a... I don't know the game company. Ah, crap.
Is it the company that did Tribes for a while towards the end?
Maybe.
Tribes 2?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm not a big fan of Smite. Not a big fan of... Because it's a MOBA.
Yeah, I can't stand MOBAs.
Yeah. I've never gone to League or Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah.
This is a third-person MOBA.
I will say, if there is a MOBA that could get me sucked into it, it would be Heroes of the Storm, because I love all things Blizzard.
Yeah.
Like, they're just really good at making enjoyable games.
They are.
They're good at taking games that other people innovate, and then they boil it down, I think, to its most fun properties, and then repackage it as their thing. So
And they're usually on the forefront of things. Again, you know, you can look at Overwatch, and there were a lot of hero shooters out there, but, like, Overwatch is, like, the hero shooter.
Yeah, there was Paragon and Battleborn, something like that.
Battleborn. It came out the same... It was unfortunate. Came out during the same time as Overwatch. It looked alright, but, yeah, it just got crushed.
I did see this thing where I was just like, damn, Blizzard, you do not fuck around with... Battleborn was doing some sort of, like, we're introducing some new characters and some new things, come play Battleborn for a reduced price. That was the very same weekend that Blizzard decided, you know what, you want to play Overwatch, it's free this weekend.
I remember that. And I remember looking at it going,
it's like, whoo, that's
cold.
That is called fucking your competitor over in a big way. Reduced price? Play Overwatch for free. Play the better game for free.
I'm a fanboy of Blizzard through and through. But Ballon Brew. they had a tournament, and it was a lot of fun. A lot of people showed up because it was a qualifier.
Sure.
It was a qualifier to the big Hearthstone Blizzard tournament for North America. And
it was that?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I
know.
So it was a qualifier. So if you had gotten first, you would have gone national.
Not national. I would have gone to the next tier.
Regional?
I think regional.
Okay.
Yeah. But I made the dumb decision. Dumb decision. So, every game I won, I was getting a drink. I was getting a rum and coke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, and I was talking to the waitress, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm probably not going to make it. I lack the confidence of a winner. So I was like, you know what? I'm here enjoying myself. You guys are a bar. Let's say every win I get, I'll take a drink. Or I'll get a drink. And she's like, all right, I'm going to hold you to that. I'm like, all right. So I won the first match. I was like, all right, I'm going to get my drink. I won the second match. I was like, okay, I'm going to get another drink. The third match rolls around. I'm looking at her, and she's like, you told me. Every win, you're going to get a drink. I was like, God dang it.
Well, you don't have to get the same drink.
Rum and Coke, man.
Beer. You could have gotten a PBR or a
mix your alcohols. Yeah, so there were seven rounds of that thing.
You had seven rum and Coke?
No, six.
Because
six.
You lost.
Because them. I lost the, gosh, I remember the four, because you would come in and you would have four decks.
Yeah.
And the opponent would look at the classes that you were using.
Okay.
And then they would ban one deck. And then you would face off and you would try to get three wins for each of your decks. Once you got a win for a particular class, okay, you couldn't use that deck anymore. So it was very competitive.
You've got to be a good all around player.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the free to play is if you do the free to play, you'll usually end up with one competitive deck.
Sure.
If you want to do like nationals, or if you want to be in the tournament scene.
Do they have an esports league?
They do.
Okay.
They do have an esports league. They, again, it's their whole national tournament sure, where people from all across the globe come and compete with each other.
Oh.
Yeah. Usually they're streaming and stuff like sure, that. But yeah, you have to win so many points to qualify and things along those lines.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I remember the three decks I was using. They were really good decks. I don't really remember the gameplay because of the drinks. But but don't worry, people. I got an Uber back home. I'm not that irresponsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hearthstone has been a big part of my gaming career, and it's something that I really enjoy. I have nothing but positives to say about it. There are the occasional times when the meta does get stale, where you're facing the same deck, the same list, each time you're on the ladder.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, if you try to come with a creative deck, sometimes those will get squashed. But sure. But a creative deck usually means that people can't guess what's in your deck. Like, I can play around certain things because I know this is the particular deck you're running. I know what cards are probably going to be sure, in your deck. But if you come with a more creative deck with something that's off the top, you know, off the radars,
yeah,
people can't really play around stuff.
I mean, that is true. That is the...
Yeah. And people will find, like, cool and new interactions doing sure, that way. So, it's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it. I give it Stuart's two thumbs up. But I'm biased. I would be interested to sort of hear of your experience as a fresh new person.
My experience with it, again, like I played through the characters in the like tutorial on my iPad.
Yeah.
And
you actually get cards by doing that too.
Yeah,
you get the classic basic cards. These cards cannot be created to dust.
Yeah.
Nor can they just be created. It's just a way to earn those cards through leveling up.
Right. And I think I played a couple of people online, and I just got my ass roundly handed to me.
It's unfortunate.
I don't really like a lot of... Like, I love the tutorial session because I'm just playing against computer.
Yeah.
I don't really like playing with people because, like, I mean, Blizzard does a good job of making sure that their environments are not toxic.
Yeah.
But for the most part, any sort of multiplayer where I'm not sitting next to someone just devolves into toxicity, in my opinion. So,
yeah.
I would like it if there were, like, because, I mean, I guess I could just delete the app and start over.
So, the funny thing is, there is no chat function in Hearthstone.
Right.
If you want to chat with somebody, you have to become their friend.
Yeah.
To actually talk to them.
Which, that does a lot in terms of making sure that people can't
learn. Yeah, yeah. When you look at Overwatch, where you can just pretty much say anything in your game, be it voice chat or typing, and everybody hears it. The funny thing is, so the developers of Overwatch, they're trying to crack down on toxicity in their game.
Because, which they've been doing really well. They've just been hitting that band hammer.
They have, but there's a lot.
Yeah,
which
is unfortunate. There's a lot.
So they've come out with like a press release where they didn't directly say it, but they were kind of like, hey, everybody, stop being dicks so we can take our focus on like banning people and trying to make it into a better community and like focus on making some new characters or like new stuff for your game. Yeah. Stop being dicks to everybody.
I mean, they're trying to do a professional, which I think in another episode, Richard and I talked a little bit about it, but because of them trying to make a professional, like, Overwatch League, right? They are very invested in not having a community where people can look up videos of people screaming racial slurs at each other.
Yeah, like League.
Yeah, like League of Legends.
League of Legends.
It very much behooves them to crack down on the shitty player behavior, but like you have to walk a fine line too, because I know they also, if 90% of the people playing are doing it, it's like, okay, well, do you just write off that game, or do you like just focus on the 10% and be like, look, man, we're gonna hit you with a ban hammer if people report you for
And I think that's what they're mainly doing, because
Blizzard, which I like, I'm a fan of. Yeah, I'll admit, I'm a fan of them just booting people from the system if they start, you know, dropping racial slurs.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because Blizzard has a reputation.
Yeah,
it has it's a well clean company.
And like Riot.
Yeah. Where you're expecting a game to not, you know, basically piss you off or make you angry, or though games do make you angry occasionally.
Yeah.
But you know, they have a reputation that they're trying to uphold.
Yeah.
And they do a good job of upholding it via their videos. They're well producted videos. I mean, you've seen some of the Overwatch stuff, and I just showed you the Hearthstone, where they just made a song and a video for Hearthstone. It's been out for 2 years, but hey, let's put together this big thing just so people know about Hearthstone.
Which I also pointed out when we were watching it that it would, like, maybe it's just me being a cynical old person, but I can't help but in the back of my head think maybe Blizzard hit a certain threshold of income where it was actually better for tax purposes for them to blow it on marketing material and write it off.
I mean, and that could be a possibility. I mean, more power to them creating an awesome video.
But I will say, one of the things that I wrote down, just because Blizzard has got that mad money.
They do.
I love their promotional material. Like, the live action web series for the jungle based one with
Journey to Ungaro.
Journey to Ungaro.
Yeah.
The CG stuff that they do with Overwatch.
Yeah.
I love their web based marketing stuff because they have the money to put behind.
And let me say, I don't know, this might be a personal thing, but whenever I see Ben Brode, he's the lead designer and creator of Hearthstone on TV, or because he also streams a couple of his games too.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
oh,
he plays it. Yeah, so get wrecked, noob.
I would not play the creator of Hearthstone in Hearthstone.
So it just seeing his presence is so commanding, like. His laugh is hilarious, and he's a funny guy. He's a guy that I would love to go and get a beer with and just, like, talk with.
Yeah, he seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, he seems like a really cool... And, you know, this is just me personally. He could be, like, an asshole for all I know, but he seems like a really neat guy and cool man.
Yeah.
Another awesome thing about it being a digital card game is they can do a lot of interesting things that physical cards can't do.
Sure.
Which, Journey into Ungaro, there was a legendary creature that would put a card into your deck, which when you played and, or when you drew and played that card, it would automatically open a booster, like a booster pack, and put the cards into your hand.
Nice.
You don't get to keep any of those cards.
Right.
Just but counts. You still get to play them.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool. Like, no other card game can really, you know, say that.
Well, with it being in a digital space, they can do things like that.
And
the animations are funny, too.
Like, yeah.
With the on-card things, which, mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've played my fair share of Magic, too, but after a while, you get kind of old just, you know, playing cards.
I mean, and that's the whole reason why Magic... Because, so yeah, there are animations, there are voices and stuff like that. When that's the whole reason why Magic came out with Magic Arena. So on Magic Online, it's pretty much straight up just Magic.
Sure.
There's, you know, no extra little bit to it.
Right.
You're just playing a digital physical, or a digital game of the physical card game.
Yeah.
With Arena... It's a little different. Again, can't say anything, but it's a little different. So, all in all, I really enjoy Hearthstone. I don't see myself falling off the wagon anymore. I'm looking forward to the new set. I'm definitely going to, you know, put down my $50 for the new set. You know, it's... not an addiction, but it's something that I enjoy. And...
Yeah, and I mean, I would chime in with, if you like Blizzard stuff, if you like Warcraft lore, if you like digital card games, or even physical card games, I think, hands down, this is probably one of the better digital card games.
I would agree with you on that one as well. Again, I would even recommend to you, with the new set that came out a couple months ago, Kobolds and Catacombs, they have that PvE thing where if you didn't enjoy playing on the ladder with other people, you can play against the computer.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and you can create your own deck. So in that game, they give you a basic deck, and each win you get to add new cards to it. So they're not cards in your collection. They're just cards that you get to add into your deck.
Yeah, and you said that's Kobolds and Catacombs?
That's correct. Right. I mean, if you download the... you know, the driver for Hearthstone, they have their own little, hub with all their games and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
You can download it for free and start playing.
Battle.net.
Battle.net. Yeah, that's the way I was looking for. Again, total honesty, we're not, like, sponsored by them or anything like that. This was a topic that I kind of wanted to talk about just because I enjoy playing Hearthstone. And, if you want to reach us, feel free to email us at
backrowsupershow@gmail.com. If you want to send us money so we can maybe live stream recording.
Sure, you guys can get to see all my cool outfits.
Yeah, you can see the cool, he came in with these rad pants.
Yeah, Deathwing. Deathwing's awesome. 10 mana. Did you want to talk a little bit about the mana system?
So that's the interesting thing.
Mana crystals.
There was a false sign off there.
You thought we were done.
Tricked you. The mana system's interesting in that each round you get progressively more mana to actually play your digital card, all of which have an associated cost, and it subtracts from your mana pool. Your next hand, the mana recharges, mm-hmm. and you get access to more.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting way of gating powerful cards, I think, because... like in Magic, as long as you have the mana on the table, you can tap it and play the card, which means that if you can get enough mana out quickly, you can just overwhelm people.
Well, and nothing feels worse than having a bunch of cool cards in your hand, like oh man, I really want to play these cards.
Yep.
And then looking down and being like, ah, I'm kind of screwed on mana because I didn't either add enough mana or I didn't shuffle correctly or, you know, certain things. Like,
yeah.
Because of random luck, you have a bunch of, like, cards that you want to play, but you can't. So this allows you to play those cards because you're not going to miss a mana step. Like, each turn, one additional mana is going to add into your pool.
Right.
So you're going to start off at one mana, and you can spend that one mana. Then your next turn, you'll have two mana, you can spend that two mana.
Mm-hmm.
And then three and four and so on and so forth.
Right.
So, yeah, it's I don't think it's the first game to use that system, but I think it's the most popular game that has used that system. I know I believe Gwent doesn't actually have a mana system. I believe you're just playing cards until one of your, say, is I'm done. Then you only draw so many cards. So okay. It's sort of like you holding your resources because it's a best out of three.
Oh, okay.
So if somebody's using all of their resources to win one, you'll probably win two because you can say, hey, I'm done. And then both of you only draw so many cards.
Right.
At least that's what I saw through Gwent. There's another game that a couple of Magic players created, which is in a digital space as well. I believe it's called Exile or something along those lines.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I'm not a very familiar about it. I know that just one popular Magic player, LSV, Louis, created or is part of the creation team of that game. And again, I don't really know much about it. But so Hearthstone, two thumbs up from Stuart.
Two thumbs up from Zach.
All right. And again, you can either email us if you want to ask us any questions. I think maybe in the far future, we might do an email cast.
Yeah, we could do like a mailbag type
thing. Yeah, sort of talk about ourselves. Sure. I know I gave a very brief discussion of who I am and what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Again, backrowsupershow@gmail.com. On Facebook, it's Backrow Super Show, all four separate words. Patreon.com/backrowsupershow. Hopefully you sense the theme there. We're also in iTunes. Hit subscribe.
Smash it. That's what all the kids are saying now.
Smash it.
Yeah, you gotta smash that button.
Mash that button.
No, smash it.
Smash that button.
Smash that subscribe button.
Smash that subscribe. Yeah. Give us a good review. I would love to see it if we're in the new and noteworthy. that's probably an aspiration that won't happen. But see you guys later.
See you next week.
Bye.